So Matthew chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. So let's go to just the beginning of that verse. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. Now, does anyone know what they mean when they say bid? When they bid you observe, what does it mean if someone asks you to bid something?
Cautious.
Or bid you to do something.
Forbid.
That. No, here it's bid. It's not forbid. It's just bid.
When they want you to do something.
Yeah, that's what it means. It's when they want you to. They're asking you to do something. They're saying, "Hey," and he's saying the Pharisees and the scribes they bid you observe. So you see the religious people or the Pharisees. They're saying. He's saying the things that they are wanting you to look at or wanting you to do or asking you to partake in and participate in. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, he's saying that observe and do. But he's also saying, then he says, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So he's talking about the religious people of that day, who are preaching and maybe telling the people, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that, but he's saying that they're saying good things, but they themselves aren't doing it. So they're preaching and they're trying to convey the message, but they're not themselves living, a genuine life that's dedicated to the word. So basically, he's saying the Pharisees are hypocrites, and they're telling people one thing, but in reality, in their life, in their own personal life, they're doing another thing. In verse 4 says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne." Now, grievous to be borne. Born isn't like a birth or like when someone's born, but born is like past tense of the word bear. Hello. All right. Will you close the door, please? Yeah. Welcome. Oh yeah, you guys can.
Why are you holding out your hand?
So we're at, for those who just arrived, we're at Matthew 23, if you have a Bible. We're on verse 4, and well, I just covered verse 3, where it says, all therefore whatsoever, Jesus is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that you observe and do. But when he says bid you observe, he means that...
He wants you to do it.
Yeah, he wants you to do it, exactly. The Pharisees are saying, oh, they're bidding you observe, they're bidding you to do these things, they're trying to preach and tell you to do certain things, but they themselves aren't doing it. Because he says, they bid you observe, and he says, that observe and do. So do what they're saying, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So the Pharisees are, he's basically saying they're hypocrites, and they're not really doing. They're not living the life that they're preaching about or that they're talking about when they're talking to the people. And verse 4 says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne." I just went over the word "born" doesn't mean like to be born as in a birth, but it means the past tense of when you bear something or bear a burden. So, and that we know we've been taught that the Christian life is a burden, but it's a one worth carrying and one worth bearing. It says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So here, Jesus is elaborating on how the religious Pharisees are truly hypocrites, and they're calling other people to a life of holiness that they themselves aren't living or aren't participating in. And this is definitely something that we should be wary of as Christians, is to be living a holy life. So we can't just call people, other people, to Christianity, but we need to be leading Christian life ourselves, because, you know, we don't want to be hypocrites. And, you know, Jesus doesn't like hypocrites, and that's why he's preaching on this in Matthew 23. And Brother Branham, that's something Brother Branham really stressed about a lot, if you listen to the messages, is that he was always, you know, very critical of hypocrites, people who were saying one thing and doing another, or had their doctrines mixed up, or things like that. You know, so we should try and live faithful and live true to the word, you know, the best that we can. And in that verse 4, it says, "But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So they're laying these burdens on other people, like, "Oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to, you know, be holy, you need to do this, you need to, you know, come to church every Sunday, you need to do this, or you need to do that." And they're laying out what the people should be doing, but they themselves are not doing those things. They're just saying that for those people, like, the rules are only for those people. And that's a dangerous mindset to have, is when, you know, you have a position of authority and power or leadership, and there are rules that are set, but you don't follow them yourself as a leader. So that's a dangerous mindset to have, and that is the mindset of the Pharisees that Jesus is criticizing here. Because they says they won't even move them with one of their fingers. The burden, the Christian burden, the gospel, the living a righteous life, they're not even trying to do that, not even with one of their fingers, says the scripture. So, you know, these, you know, quote-unquote holy men are trying to tell people to do things and live a certain way while they themselves, they're not even willing to try. So they're just placing burdens on other people, and they won't even try to carry it with one of their fingers. So, but they still want to have the respect, and they want to appear like, oh, great holy men in front of everybody else. You know, in verse 5 says, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders, the borders of their garments." Now, phylactery is a weird word, but phylactery basically means a small leather box containing Hebrew texts and vellum worn by Jewish men at morning prayer as a reminder to keep the law. And I actually have an image here of a phylactery. You can pass that around. But it's basically like a box they would wear that would have scriptures in it that they would... What, Zoe? Well, anyways, it's like they would have a box full of scriptures, and they would tie it to their head, and they'd tie one to their arm, and they would wear that to, I guess, a morning prayer, or, you know, a morning church service, in a way. And the scripture says they would try to make broad their phylacteries. Verse 5, they would try to make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. So they're like, oh, they want their box to be bigger than everyone else. So they want it to be, you know, they want to kind of, in a way, show off, oh, how holy they are. Like, it's like a holier-than-thou attitude that they're having towards this time that should be dedicated towards, you know, sincerity to God. You know, like, we shouldn't be coming to church trying to impress the people at church. We should be coming to church to sincerely, you know, get something from God. And they're coming to the morning prayer, the morning service, just trying to show off how much holier they are and how much, how high and mighty they are, and trying to have, like, the nicest robes and things like that.
Like, when Jesus would be, like, people praying in public, like, making a spectacle of themselves to, like, make people look their holy.
Can I say again?
Isn't this, like, the equivalent? So when Jesus talks about the people who pray in public and make a spectacle,
yeah, it's like you're not praying in sincerity to God. You're praying just to, like, so other people can see me praying. You know, it's like if I like exactly what you said, like in the scriptures, like someone's on the street and they're just praying and they're just trying to show. And it's like Brother Branham talks about, you know, just getting in a little prayer closet where, like, there's no one but you and God. But But like it's like you said, those people in the Bible, they were trying to almost like show off, like, oh, I'm so holy, and they're doing it in vain with like the wrong attitude, you know. So that is it, you know, that Jesus calls them hypocrites, and he says, you know, that just you're just showing off to men, like that's not doing anything for God. You're just doing that to, you know, for yourself. So it's not really doing anyone any favors. They just want prestige, and they want to be seen as better than everyone else because they have this false sense of holiness. And, you know, and people, you know, do similar things today where they might talk about, you know, how like how big their church is or how much better their church is. Some of these churches make a lot of money. Some people say, oh, how much better our camp is, or you know, their favorite preacher, or anything just to try and, you know, make themselves look good in front of other people. But it's similar to like what I talked about last week. You know, they're only doing it to consume it upon their lusts, as it said in James 4. They're just doing it, they're doing these things just to consume it upon their lusts. It's not, you know, their worship is amiss, it's inappropriate, and it's out of place. You know, they're only doing it to glorify themselves instead of doing it to glorify God, which is what we should be focused on. And we should avoid, you know, just doing anything just to glorify ourselves. And we should focus more on God. And all our worship should be honest and sincere and to the glory of the Lord so that he can be satisfied, so that we can find favor in his sight and not in the sight of man, not trying to impress, you know, not trying to seem great among each other or other people, just to have a genuine relationship with God. So verse 6, he says, And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Excuse me. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. So that's another example of, you know, they just love feeling important, like the uppermost seats, like the chief seats at the synagogue. They want to have a big, almost like a king. They want to have a big seat. They want to have a big role. They want to be wearing these nice clothes and want to be in front of people who are like thinking, oh, these are such holy men. And they want to be thought of that way and respected that way. But if they're just doing that to satisfy their own egos. And as we know, and we've read the Bible, that we know Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, he never had fancy clothes or fancy shoes or riches. And he never sought approval from, you know, to be a mighty man or from people around him. He just did what the Father asked of him, and that's why he's our example, because he just did what the Father asked. And that's what we should seek to do, since he's our example. And we want to be more like Christ, because he said, not my will, but thine be done. So, and that's just a completely different attitude than the one that the Pharisees had, which was more so to glorify themselves than anyone else. Verse 7. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of man, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye brethren, and all ye brethren, oh, and all ye are brethren, excuse me. So, once again, they want to be called, they want to have a title, Rabbi, Rabbi. They want to be called that. They want to be, you know, called, you know, master, and they want to be seen in high regard, but Jesus ends verse 8 with saying, all ye are brethren. All ye are brethren. So it doesn't matter if there's a minister, a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, any of the fivefold ministry, or anyone in the congregation who does certain things or worships a certain way, we're all brethren. We're all, you know, brothers and sisters. So nobody's above anybody else. Nobody's better than anybody else. We all have our flaws. We're all a part of the same family. So, and Brother Branham even called people in denominations, he called them his brothers and sisters because they were believers of Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I think it's important to remember that, and that we need unity and not to push people away. Not to push away people that are different than us or maybe don't agree with us completely or on everything. And I heard a brother say one time that, you know, if I have the Holy Ghost in me and you have the Holy Ghost in you, and we're all just brothers and sisters. So, you know, we should treat each other that way and love each other like we're family, because there's nothing more important than this word. And we need we need unity, and we need God to, you know, bind us in love. And we need to respect each other, like, all equally, and not, like, put people on a pedestal, because that's not biblical, to put people on a pedestal and, you know, just the things of man and such. So verse 9 says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." So, and if you know anything about the Catholic Church, then you know that they likely try their best to avoid this scripture, because they still call ministers father to this day. But we have one father, one master, which is Christ, and that supersedes everyone and everything in our lives. Because those things, you know, we are truly vain. We need to have a reverence for the scriptures, and that is a lot of what goes on in, you know, some denominations, where, you know, people are revered so much that then they start making up, you know, their own doctrines and own creeds, and the churches start believing them. And it's that they've strayed away from the word, and they've, you know, Brother Branham always talked about how ministers need to avoid, I think it was women, money, and popularity, and those things. And that's what's likely getting the Pharisees right now, is money and popularity. Is they're definitely seeking that popularity and that respect and that, you know, reputation and all those things. So, you know, we know that that's not of God. And even as I talked about last time with Solomon, when Solomon was asked what he wanted of God, he was wanting to do it for other people. He didn't ask for wisdom for himself, to be some great man, or to be, oh, I just want wisdom so, you know, I can show off to my people, or so I can show off to my friends about how smart I am, or how I can do this and how I can do that. He did it because, so he would have the wisdom in order to be able to serve God's people. So in verse 11, we see what, you know, the true definition of greatness is. And 11 says, "But he that is great among you shall be your servant." Now, that is truly what defines greatness in the Bible, because the Pharisees are trying to be great. They're trying to make themselves look bigger, or, you know, preaching a fancy sermon, or that they would never live themselves anyways, or trying to make fashion statements with their robes, or they want people to call them father, rabbi, you know, teacher, you know, they want these titles. They want to be exalted, you know, they want to be respected and lifted up above other people, and they want to feel important. But it's all in vain, because none of those things make you great. You know, what makes someone great, you know, is how well they can be a servant. And if we think back to, like I said last week, that's exactly what Solomon did. He asked God, asked him what he wanted, and Solomon, like I said last week, didn't ask for something to consume it upon his lusts. It wasn't for him. It wasn't just to be selfish. He didn't want to be revered as a great man, but he asked for wisdom so that he could judge and properly rule over the people that God put him in charge of. And God loved that answer so much that he granted Solomon's request. So if you want to be great, you should ask yourself, you know, how can I be a servant? How can I help someone else? You know, what can I do to serve the Lord in the best way that I can? And, you know, how can I humble myself? And even you look in the church, and there's a certain order to the church, and there's a church hierarchy. But the higher up you go in the church hierarchy, the more of a servant you become. So there might be a teacher who's, you know, has to come up with things to, you know, to teach the congregation, and maybe there's even a song leader, or even just someone in the congregation who's helping someone else to go through something, or even like in the hierarchy, there's maybe like a minister, and then, you know, the pastor is all the way up top, but really the pastor, who has the most authority in the church, is really a servant, because he's supposed to serve all of us and serve the people. And they have to come up with things every week, and they have to stick with the flock, and they have to deal with, you know, all the issues and problems of, you know, being a pastor and with dealing with people. But, you know, the more authority you're given, you know, in the order of God, the more of a servant you become. So the greater you become is kind of, you know, a little bit opposite to how maybe we think of carnally. We think of carnally like, oh, if you're a CEO, you're a big boss, you don't answer to anyone. You don't, you know, you work for yourself, everyone answers to you, everyone works for you. But in the hierarchy of God, the higher up you go, the more you answer to more people. You don't, people don't answer to you as much, but you answer more to other people, and you try to attend to the needs of, you know, the flock that God has put you in charge of. And we look at verse 12, and it says that exact thing. It says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." So, people who, like the Pharisees, people who try to make more and more of themselves, like, oh, look at how big, you know, the phylactery, look at how big my box of scriptures is, look at how fancy my robes are, you know, trying to make a fashion statement at church, you know, trying to, you know, show off to the people. But they're going to be lowered, and they're going to be, you know, God will put them in their place. And but he says, he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So you humble yourself, and you want to be more of a servant, and, you know, serve God and serve, you know, your brothers and sisters and try to help people out. That's really what's going to exalt you in God's eyes, is not to become some boss or authority figure in the church, or try to, you know, be in charge of everything. But really, it's the person that tries to serve people the best that they can with God's guidance, the way Solomon was trying to with his request was for wisdom, so that he could properly judge and guide people. So if you want to be great, try to be a servant, try to help someone out, and just try to serve God in the best way that you can. So God bless you. You're dismissed.